Well, I notice it's time to start officially, so we'll start. And we're going to continue singing through the Psalter, and we've come to Psalm 66. Once again, during these unusual times, we're only going to be having three praises. Normally we have four, but we're only having three, and I actually quite like three, actually. It's just a nice number. There's a book written, I remember reading it many years ago, I can't even remember the name of the author, but it was to do with the secret of the universe. That was what the book was called. And it was to do with numbers. The number three crops up again and again in the fabric of things. And I just mentioned that as a bit of casual information. I don't know if it's important or not. But anyway, we're back together. Psalm 66, verses 1 to 5. Well, let us read some verses in John's Gospel, chapter 5. This is our first reading. In chapter 5 and at verse 15, we shall begin to read. The previous verses, of course, have been taken up with the healing of the man, the impotent man, at the pool of Bethesda, and how Christ had healed him. And how the Jews gathered round and criticised him for doing this on the Sabbath. And we'll begin to read at verse 15 in John chapter 5. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him whole. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him, because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. But Jesus answered them, "My Father worketh hitherto, and I work." Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, that is their understanding of the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do, for what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loves the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel. For as the Father raises up the dead and quickens them, even so the Son quickens whom he will. For the Father judges no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honour the Son, even as they honour the Father. He that honoureth not the Son honoureth not the Father who hath sent him. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. And we'll leave it there for the moment. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we have been singing and reading again of the mighty things of the gospel, the great and terrible God of whom the psalm has been speaking and concerning whom we have been singing, how terrible are God's works. And we pray that as we think of the great power and potential that is in the God of our salvation, that we would not come lightly or imagine superficial things concerning our God, but remember that this great one of whom the scripture is pointing and to whom we are invited to trust and believe because he is good, that this one is the one who with a word creates the heavens and the earth. Such stupendous, unimaginable power is beyond all understanding and all comparison. And we, O God, know something of the power of this world, our little planet. We see the power of nature. We see the power of lightning and fires and floods. And we know the power that resides in the atom and the power that is expressed in the maintenance and in the functioning of the universe. And yet we are told in the scriptures that God made it all by speaking it into being. He breathed and it stood fast. And so this evening we approach that holy throne and we pray that we would remember that God is great, but that we would remember also, O God, that God is gracious, and that in this gathering we are given yet another evidence of God's prevailing providence, that we have not been cast off or cast away or destroyed, that through the word of the scriptures written for our learning, we can gather around the holy scriptures when absent together from one another, but especially when gathered together and looking at one another and hearing one another's voice. And we pray that we would appreciate these occasions and remember that in his earthly days, our Lord Jesus Christ desired the company of his disciples. And we find him calling his 12 disciples particularly in order that they might be with him before he ever sent them out to preach. And in his extremity in the Garden of Gethsemane, he so desired that 3 of his disciples would watch with him even for an hour. And so we are conscious, O Lord, that our great Savior is sympathetic and that as a human, he was one of us, desiring the companionship of those who belong to God. And so we pray that we would value these occasions. So we give thanks, O God, that we have this opportunity, this place, and we give thanks for those who own this property and who are willing to let us have it at a reasonable rate, and that they are indeed careful for our health and safety, and that these are indeed pleasant places. And so we give thanks to God, and we pray you would bless the work that goes on here for the gospel as other congregations gather in different rooms at different times, as we do now. And so the word goes on, and the work of the gospel goes on through places such as this. These places don't make the headlines. They are not well known in the international circles, but the work of the Lord goes on within their walls. And so we give thanks, O God, and we pray for other congregations who would gather as we do in these venues. So as we approach once again, help us to raise our voices and raise our hearts and open our ears and open our hearts to hear the living voice of the living God. And all for God's glory we pray, that God's name would be hallowed by us, that God's kingdom would come increasingly within us and throughout the world, and that God's will would be done by us and in us and upon the earth. And all we pray is through Jesus' name. Amen. Now we're going to read again in 1 Thessalonians in chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians in chapter 4. And we shall read the whole of this chapter. These Thessalonian epistles, by the way, they may well be Paul's first letters, and they may be among the very first writings of our New Testament. So we are looking here at pristine Christian writings in these Thessalonian letters. In chapter 4 in 1 Thessalonians, furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more. For you know the commandment we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles, which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. For God has not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. He therefore that despises not man, but God, who has also given unto us his Holy Spirit. But as touching brotherly love, you need not that I write unto you. For you yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed you do it towards all the brethren, which are in all Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that you increase more and more, and that you study to be quiet, to do your own business, to work with your own hands, as we commanded you, that you may walk honestly towards them that are without, and that you may have lack of nothing. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent. This word means precede, it means go before, not precede them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words, and so on. Well, I don't have any intimations except the ones that I think I've mentioned. The Lord's Day morning services will be continued to be recorded, and so we invite you to listen in at the time or access the web when they're put on the web. We've been encouraged by the numbers. I don't know, I don't check up on who's listening. I've had some feedback from one or two people, more than one or two, but not many. Some of you have contacted me, some haven't, but that's fine. But we are encouraged by the numbers that we are told. Mr. Marshall, our webmaster, has given us information on numbers, and I personally am quite encouraged. So we should be encouraged, not discouraged, even if in God's mysterious, loving providence we are closed down. As the psalmist says in Psalm 46, even if the whole earth collapses, we will not be afraid because God is in the midst of us. That's the basic attitude of faith, and the scripture teaches reasons why we should have that outlook. So we continue to gather around the word. Sunday mornings recorded, Wednesdays here, God willing, and Sunday afternoons here also. And so we welcome you all and people that are listening, and we welcome them too. Well, we're going to sing further to God's praise and glory in Psalm 66. And at verse 6 to 11, we sing these verses.
King St. James.
In all thy land,